everybody, and welcome to the Mini PC Show, Episode 6. My name is Door to Door Geek, the guy at Podnuts. I am joined, we're just going to get right to it. We are joined this week by Eric Ardini. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Door. How are you?
Crazy, busy, but man, I really do seem to thrive mentally when I'm busy. It's like when I'm not busy, all I want to do is nap and eat, like, potato chips. Yeah. And we're also joined this week by Brian Ask the Cable Guy. How are you doing, sir?
Fantastic, Dora. Thank you for asking. I'm a little busy myself today. Actually, a couple of days were pretty intense. I was kind of tasked with a project at work, and that involved setting up a lab for, simulation using ASR 9000s. So this stuff was like CCIE type level, Cisco CCIE level stuff that was really over my head. So I was, not under the gun, but just, swimming in some waters that I was really unfamiliar with. So it was a good time. I loved it.
Very cool. Very cool. We also have our first guest of the series. So Matt, don't forget, you're our number one. We are joined by Matt McGraw from Stay at Home Geek Dad. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Dora. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. I literally had like three people ping me in one week asking to be on. Three things made me say you're the guy who has to be on first. One, I've let you down multiple years saying I was thinking about coming out to scale, and I fully acknowledge, man, it's a hard time of the year.
Yeah. Right after Christmas, usually.
Right. And two, you already do some amount of podcasting, which means much less stress level. But then three, you wanted to come on and talk about one of my favorite open projects of the last like 5 years, and that's OwnCloud.
Yeah, it's good
stuff. So, okay. So you have a podcast. If people want to know more about that, geekdad.thestrangeland.net.
Correct.
Go there, check it out. It's all about being a stay-at-home dad, which, yep, I gotta say is nothing I can imagine but adventurous, because every day it's something new.
Yeah, it's true. And I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old at home right now. I also have a 13-year-old, but he lives out of state with his mom. So yeah, we have a good time.
Yeah, those two sound, that'd be fun. 3 and 5. That's good. Yeah, good age.
Good age. Okay, now, you went to scale this year, but as you told me before the show, you really didn't go as just someone to just go enjoy the event, but you were actually tasked with a job at the event.
Yeah, I was contacted before scale last year by Yos, who's the project manager. He's the community manager for the owncloud.org, the community side of the project. And he said they were coming out to scale for the first time, and if there was anybody that wanted to come out and help stand at the booth and pass out stickers and talk about OwnCloud, that he wanted to get as many community people there as he could. And apparently I was the only one who was smart enough or dumb enough to say yes. And we had such a good time that when it was rolling around last fall, when we were getting ready to think about going to scale again, I sent Yos an email and I'm like, I'm up for it if you guys are coming out again. And he was. So we did it again. It was a lot of fun.
What could you describe what Scale is for someone who's never been to it?
Sure. Well, it stands for Southern California Linux Expo, and this year was the 14th annual. It was started by a Linux users group out near UCLA, and that's where they held the first several events, was on the campus at UCLA. And then it's moved around a bit throughout LA. Last year, it was at one of the hotels out by LAX, out by the airport. And we were at the Pasadena Convention Center this year, and it just keeps growing and growing. And it's sort of a combination between a Linux Fest and like a trade show. So you got lots of speakers. They have several different tracks, whether you're a developer, end user, somewhere in the middle, depending on what you want to find out about. They usually do an install fest. So if you're a total noob, you can bring your laptop out and spend the day on Saturday having people help you install. And that's pretty fun too. And then of course the expo floor where all the booths are. And, there was a ton of people out there this year. We had, obviously we were out there with OwnCloud, Ubuntu always has a big presence. OpenSUSE, KDE Project, GNOME, you know, the typical, those type of things. And then all sorts of businesses that build around Linux, like Linode and DigitalOcean and Linux Academy. And even the booth right next to ours was Disney Technology. And they were actually trying to hire Linux sysadmins because they do a lot of Linux on the desktop at Disney. And also in their rendering farms when they do animation and stuff too. So
very cool. Wow, that's cool. I didn't realize it was all that.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And the other thing that they started doing a year or two ago, I'm not sure how long ago, was they would hold an UbuCon, which is put on by one of the local Ubuntu groups. And this year it was the two days ahead of Scale actually starting. And Mark Shuttleworth was out and a bunch of guys from Canonical and community people. And it's become a really amazing, fun event. It's it tends to be a little more enterprise focused than some of the like Southeast Linux Fest or Ohio Linux Fest or some of those that are more community driven. But it's a really great show. If you ever get a chance, I highly recommend coming out.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one. If you want to go to one and make sure you find something that interests you, nothing else is going to compare with the number of tracks available, mm-hmm. The number of speakers, and to be very honest with myself, the quality of speakers are probably at its highest at this event because it is so enterprise focused. But mm-hmm. I mean, this is literally gigantic compared to most fests that are out there. Most fests, you're lucky if you get 1,000, 2,000 kind of numbers. I believe the last Scale before this one had something like 20,000 people.
Yeah, it was huge, massive. Wow. They call them birds of a feather talks, where if you show up and you want to talk about something, you can put something up on a board. And if eight other people agree to talk about that, then they'll give you a space and 45 minutes to just go off and talk about it. And it's really cool. It's a really neat event.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, if you had to give us what is OwnCloud in like 30 seconds, how would you describe it?
So OwnCloud started as a self-hosted replacement for Dropbox. So the initial functionality and the prime functionality is file sync and sharing. And you can do it the same way you do with Dropbox. If you upload a file and you click a little share button and you get a URL that you can then email out to friends, family members, coworkers, and then you can give them whether you want to give them like editing permissions or just view permissions or whatever. But it's not just an app, and it's a web app. It runs on a web server. It's written in PHP and HTML and CSS and JavaScript, basically. But they've also built it as a framework, so people started adding apps to it. And now if you do a fresh install of OwnCloud, you get the file sync and share. You get a WebDAV, CalDAV-enabled calendar, and a CardDAV-enabled contact server. And you get a documents app, so you can do text editing, and a picture gallery. And then you can set up different galleries and share out pictures. And then there are just third-party apps. There's tons of them for all sorts of things. Right now, with my Dropbox instance, I'm replacing Google Calendar, Google Contacts, Dropbox, Evernote. I'm replacing Evernote. They're working with a company called Calabra and with the LibreOffice organization to try and get more robust text editing brought in. That's coming soon. So it's a really neat platform, and a lot of people have a passion for it, and it's just getting developed really cool apps, music players and video players and just all kinds of things. So it's neat.
Yeah. I gotta say, this is no coincidence. I literally just got a quote unquote fresh install of OwnCloud completed less than 30 minutes before we started to record. Long story short, hard drive started to fail on my Banana Pi running OwnCloud after about a year. So I said, let me try to clone the drive, and it turned out to be a bunch of problems. And I tried to put the clone drive back in, and bunch of database syncing problems all around. So I said, let me just start fresh. And I did it the incredibly hard way. I was, W getting files, hand changing config files and this file and permissions issues here and log file issues there and SQL access. issues there. And then I stopped and said to myself, self, maybe I'm an idiot and maybe I can just go on the base Raspbian installation of a Pi-ware kind of thing and just type apt-get install owncloud. And I typed apt-get install owncloud and what do you know? About 20 minutes later, I had myself a perfectly functioning version of owncloud.
That's awesome. Can I give you a little piece of advice about that, though? I don't mean to burst your bubble, but the repository versions are usually old. And what they will tell you on the owncloud.org site is that they release the server and the sync clients through the OpenSUSE open build service. And you can actually add an apt repo right into your sources.list that pulls the fresh builds right off the open build service. And that's the way you can keep the most up to date. You probably won't get as updated as often from your package manager in your distro.
I'll say on virtually any distro, that's the case, flat out, bar none, always. I think what I had before, honest, when this crashed was like a version 6, possibly. So I did this apt-get install. What it gave me was a version 7. So what I'm going to try to do is try to go in after the fact, add those servers in my repo listing and do an update and see if it pushes up, because I believe they're all the way up to
8.2.
Yeah, it's like 8.22. And I really don't like being a beta tester, quote unquote, but with the online document collaboration, number one, that is the Google Docs killer that a lot of people need and want. I also saw a posting today that said they're really pushing the idea of having owncloud email integration. And that totally blew my mind.
Sure. You can already get an app if you use Roundcube for your email. You can already get an app that's a Roundcube client. The other thing that's really cool is they have owncloud mail, and it's basically an IMAP client. So you can point it at anything, anywhere you have an IMAP server, whether it's Gmail or something at work or whatever. And you can have your mail right there in your owncloud interface, and it's all seamless. So that's really cool too.
Okay, now that's really cool. But I forgot to read the emails at the beginning of the show, but I digress. What was it at scale that you saw that we have you on to talk about?
Sure. So there's a division of Western Digital called WD Labs, and they're kind of a innovative branch of Western Digital. And they actually have this kit that you can buy right now, and it's called a Pi drive. And it comes with a 1 terabyte USB 3.0 hard drive. It comes with a HDMI adapter. Basically, it comes with everything except the Raspberry Pi that you need to build your own Raspberry Pi-based network storage. And so they approached the owncloud community and said, this is a really cool product. You have a really cool project. Maybe we can work something out. So we actually had in the booth at scale two prototypes of a owncloud-branded Pi drive kit that's hopefully going to ship in April. I don't know if it's not like a tie me down and hold me to it kind of thing, but that's what they were talking about, was maybe April being able to ship this out with a custom SD card image that will basically, you boot it up, plug everything in, boot it up, you click a couple buttons, it downloads a new build of owncloud, and you're ready to go on your own LAN, wherever you want to be. And it's a nice little package. It's maybe 8 inches long, 4.5, 5 inches tall. It's got kind of a rounded shape. It actually, one of the things we were joking about at the booth was that it has high spouse approval factor. So if you wanted to put it in the living room, plugged into the router or whatever, it looks slick. And, so it's a really neat device, and with a 1 terabyte, hard drive, spinning disk hard drive, you can do quite a bit on your home network with owncloud, because the owncloud apps for iPhone and Android, you can send them to do auto backup of photos just like you would Dropbox or Google Photos or any of the other ones, and you can have it pointed right to your owncloud server that's running at your house, and then those pictures get backed up and they never leave space that you control. And that's the great thing really about owncloud, is that wherever you host it, and I host mine on a VPS, but I have the SSH keys, I have the root password, nobody's going to be able to get into my server, and my contacts don't go to Google, and my calendar doesn't go to Google, and my notes don't go to Evernote. It's mine, and I get to keep it.
Right. You own all of your data,
yep.
Period. Now, here's my quick question. Looking at the cabling, I was a little bit confused. There's one cable, it looks like, coming out of the hard drive with three end pieces on it.
Yeah, it's actually really cool.
Yeah. The one goes, it looks like USB. Mm-hmm. The other one looks like it goes to micro USB to actually power the Pi, maybe. And then there's a third, which I'm guessing goes to the power brick.
Yep, that's correct.
That is so wild. If you
run this headless, there's only one cable, and with Wi-Fi, there's only one cable that comes out of the back, and it's a little skinny micro USB power cord. So
see, that's genius. Genius.
It's really, really cool. And it has a full-size HDMI, so if you want to, like, I'm sitting here in my living room, if I wanted to hook it up to my big screen, I could do that, throw a Bluetooth module on it, wireless keyboard. It's pretty slick.
Very cool, very cool. Do you guys have any questions for Matt about it?
Did they talk at all about what this might cost for 1 terabyte?
The current one sells, I believe, for $80, plus you have to supply the Raspberry Pi. And what the folks at Western Digital said was they really wanted to get it down to $69.99, $70.
Oh, man.
With the own cloud branding, with the 1 terabyte spinning disk. And you still have to supply the Pi. And right now, it only fits the Raspberry Pi 2 and the 1B Plus, I think, are the only two boards that fit in the housing the way they have it. But if you get the kit and you want to just use the drive and stuff in your own housing, then you just, you know, whatever device you want to put on it, it works.
Right. And I will say the link on the store right now, if you do buy it, you do get the free case with it. You can, if you want, buy the case separately on the on that store for $10. So you're getting a $10 free gift when you buy it for now, which I think is very nice. It's a way to encourage people get it now, because I don't really think functionally the inners would change a lot between now and then.
No, I don't think so. The new one with the own cloud image will have an own cloud branding on the side of the case, which is really cool. And then, that's what they're finalizing, is the design of the case, the design of the logo, and the image, the boot image. So the internals are going to be what you see on the site now.
Is there anywhere somebody can see what the case looks like too?
I linked to a blog post, I believe, in the Google Doc that has a photo. Yeah, it's there. It's a link to the owncloud.org blog, and they have a photograph of the actual item. Also, if you go to their blog, you'll see a post by Yos about the about scale and the talks that he gave and some of the conversations we had at the booth, and you can see some photos of it there, and also of me, but don't expect much.
So you don't look as good as this case does, then. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. No.
No, that's good.
No, I'm chubby and have a beard. So
welcome to a podcast about tech stuff.
Well, if it helps, Matt, when I look at your website, the picture of you makes it look like you're fully ready to like kick my butt all over the place.
You know, somebody told me that I looked like a repo man in that picture.
A repo man. That's very cool. Now my wild card question is, how close, because this, I think, is going to be one of the big deciding factors on how successful this product can be. Mm-hmm. How close do you think they have it to where you take it home? Because more than likely, when you get it, hopefully in April, it's going to be mostly put together. And it's going to be very simple to just plug and go. How simple do you think it will be for someone not familiar with OwnCloud to be able to get this up and running?
I think anybody that has a good comfort level with computers in general will probably be okay. This is not something that my 72-year-old dad is going to order through the mail and set up by himself. He'd have to have me do it. But if you're comfortable enough with whatever, I mean, it doesn't even have to be, you know, Linux, Mac, Windows, whatever. As long as you're comfortable with the processes of using a computer, I'd say it's going to be fairly easy, because it'll be ready to boot, and then there'll be a couple of clicks to get to the OwnCloud, you know, download and install OwnCloud now button, and then it'll it'll be there. And when you do a fresh install of OwnCloud, as you know, there's a PDF of the user's manual that's installed right along with it. So, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be out of reach of most people. And, I think if you have a good familiarity and comfort level with technology, then it'll be great.
Would there be any advantage, I see that it's compatible with the Raspberry Pi B Plus or the Raspberry Pi 2. Is there any advantage in this specific usage for one or the other?
The boards have their limitations. One of the functions of OwnCloud that we like to talk about is the server-side encryption. So if you want to not only own your data but keep it encrypted, the OwnCloud software will have the server do the encryption when you upload. Now, I wouldn't do that on Raspberry Pi because trying to do encryption of even a text document on a Raspberry Pi probably take a week. But I would say that the main difference between the two and the 1B Plus, I think, is RAM.
Yeah.
And I don't even think there's much difference in the video chip or the USB bus or anything. There are different boards. There are arguments that can be made that Banana Pro is a better board to run depending on what you want to do with your Pi or with your OwnCloud instance. But I have run mine on the two, and we had one running at the booth on a Raspberry Pi 2, and it was great. It worked really well.
That was a good question. Yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off, Steve. Go ahead.
No. Oh, you're fine. Me as a company, I would only be mentioning the Raspberry Pi because they're the only single chip on, single computer on a chipboard that you can get fairly easily. And when you do a search for it, you find hundreds of thousands of people talking about it.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's why they went with it for the Pi drive to begin with.
Well, yeah. And there's no better place to do this because if they support you, that's a lot of traffic possibly to your site. And the one thing I really hope is the nerds out there don't say, oh, I could do this for myself and probably do it for less. No, the point of this is not because you can't do it yourself because you're incompetent. The point of this is we have a company backing a project like this. Yep. So if you buy this, you buy this to support OwnCloud and to actually show a company that you support this, them because of this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I actually talked to a guy at Scale who's a tech. He's a small business owner and, he deploys Raspberry Pis with OwnCloud to his clients and he manages them all. I don't remember if he said with Puppet or Launchpad. I don't remember, but he had a centralized management server that he ran in his company and he was managing all the Pis all over town, running OwnCloud. And he was thrilled that this product was coming out because it was going to make it even easier for him to put these into people's homes and people's businesses because you had the slick look and the branding and everything. So yeah, it's a really neat thing. Yeah. You can do it yourself, but you can do it for somebody else and it looks nice. And so, yeah. So the geeks aren't going to, the geeks probably won't buy it much other than, as you said, Dor, to support the company. But I can buy this for my dad and throw it on his network at home and configure it for him. And he won't even balk at what it looks like. So it's good stuff.
I think some geeks will buy it still just because you have to still buy a Raspberry Pi separately with it and put that together.
That's true.
I mean, that sounds like a good starter project for a lot of people. Especially if they've been around Raspberry Pis a little bit or they messed around with computers. Mm-hmm. That's still enough of a project, I think, for a lot of people to be intrigued by it. Well, look what I made,
Yep. Yep. I should also point out that the team from Western Digital that designed the Pi drive and that had actually approached OwnCloud was at Scale and they stopped by and I talked to the guy who'd actually designed the case and he has the 3D models on Thingiverse. So if you have a 3D printer and a lot of time and you want to go print out a case, you can do it.
That's awesome.
That really is. Now, the stupid question I have for you, and I don't know how much you know about this one, Matt. OwnCloud, to me, is one of the few projects out there that really do a good job of bridging the gap and supporting both the open community version and an enterprise version. Mm-hmm. With OwnCloud, you can you can link it to Active Directory. You can assign all your permissions in Active Directory and have it come and you know, have all the permissions come down to OwnCloud. That's really rare. But the one feature I think I understand, but I'm hoping you understand better, is federation.
Right. So federation, this is a little bit over my head. The idea is that if I have an OwnCloud instance and you have an OwnCloud instance, rather than just sharing a file with me, you can actually allow me to mount part of your instance into my instance. And it becomes as seamless as if it was running on my server under my instance, but it's actually, you know, a portion of yours that you've shared with me. And the way it's done, you get assigned a username, a federated username, and I don't know where it indexes, whether it indexes peer-to-peer or if there's a server somewhere that is indexing it. I don't believe so, but I'm not sure how I can just put in like doordoorgeek@podnuts.com or cloud.podnuts.com or whatever the name of your instance is, and it will find you and share the file with you without having to know exactly where you are, who you are. You just you have
this better collaboration.
Yeah, it's neat. It's a neat technology. It really helps if you're deploying. I know they built it this way because of the way that they deploy the enterprise version. And the guys with the Large Hadron Collider over in Europe, I forget the name of the CERN, I think, they run OwnCloud for all their internal network stuff. And I just read Deutsche Bahn, a German transportation company, just is switching over to OwnCloud for all their stuff. And as you said, Dor, there's all kinds of authentication backends that you can use, whether it's Active Directory or LDAP, right. And then the ability to mount in external storage, whether it's a NAS that's on your local network, or if you want to mount your Dropbox in through OwnCloud, you can mount your Google Drive. And as far as OwnCloud knows, that's just dumb storage. So it doesn't matter. Right. If you've got a terabyte on Google Drive that you're paying for already, connect it to your own cloud, upload your stuff, let your own cloud server encrypt it, and then stick it as an encrypted blob onto Google Drive. It just looks at Google Drive as dumb storage. And then whether somebody at Google wants to crack open your file system, you're just storing encrypted blobs
so
on there.
If you have, let's say, an Amazon account with a lot of storage like I do, I can just...
Yeah, like an S3.
Yeah, I can point that S3 link into OwnCloud and it would use it just like a drive. Wow.
Yes.
That's a...
Yep. OpenStack data objects, S3, Google Drive, any Samba, WebDAV, FTP. There's all kinds of apps, storage apps that you can connect through. And then you only have to run one sync app on your laptop. You don't have to run your Google Drive sync app and your Dropbox sync app and your OwnCloud sync app. It's all running through one interface. And you have discretion when you're syncing at the directory level. So let's say there's one directory in your Google Drive that you want to have access and sync to your laptop through OwnCloud. You can just check that one directory and the whole rest of your Google Drive stays off your laptop. I have a Chromebook that I do a lot of writing for my podcast on. And when I set up my own cloud sync, through that, I only sync the folder for the episode that I'm working on. I'm running Linux on my Chromebook off of a flash drive. So I have a limited amount of storage. I don't want to sync every episode of my podcast down to my Chromebook, but I can just check the box for the episode I'm working on. And then I have access to my markdown files and my audio files. And then when it's time to work on the next episode, I create a new folder and just sync that one down. And it's slick.
Yeah, that's a lot of good. You just threw a lot of great use case scenarios at me right there, Matt. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. I'm sorry if I ramble. I'm basically giving you all the stuff that I was talking about at the booth with all the different people that were coming up to talk to me. And I get really excited and passionate when I talk about this because it's just such a neat project. And I think the more people get the opportunity to think about ways they can use it, the more use cases it opens itself up for. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I totally appreciate you telling me every bit of that. It's really getting me excited about getting into this.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that's the passion behind it is the driving force of this whole thing. You know, with the wide variety of things you can actually do. Sure. I think this is fantastic. And that was one of my questions that I was going to ask you is, you know, there are a few other products that are out there that are in your same space, and you've just proven, you know, what makes you better than your competitor.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, I hope so. That's, we try to make it as easy as possible to explain, you know, if you're doing this, you should be doing it this way instead, and here's why. And Dora had mentioned that there's an enterprise version, and I want to, just to clarify, the code is the same in the enterprise version and the community edition. There's no difference in the code. The only thing that's different if you have an enterprise license is that you get tech support, and you get access to some sort of like niche storage interfaces. Like if you're a huge business and you run a Microsoft SharePoint server and you want to be able to pull your SharePoint files into OwnCloud, that's a specialized connector. You know, you have to have the enterprise edition in order to be able to do that. And, you know, people are always like, well, if it's free, how do you make money? Well, that's how, you know, you get the enterprises in, and then the community does such a good job of supporting it. You can post on the forums and have an answer so fast. I mean, the community is just great. So I talked to so many different small business owners that they're like, we don't even need the enterprise edition. We have a problem. We go on the forum, we figure it out, and they're good to go. So.
Yeah, because I do remember when I looked at the enterprise perks, quote unquote, there was nothing that I saw that I, as a home user, would even want. So, yeah,
and you wouldn't be able to afford it anyway. I mean, their licensing is ridiculous because it's really good, but you don't need it unless you really need it.
Right, like you said. Right, and I gotta say, this is the kind of thing that makes me literally want to buy people in this company a beer. If you go to owncloud.org/features, okay, scroll down. They have a whole bunch of YouTube videos right there in a big box. You can click them and look. But the one on the bottom left is using a federated cloud sharing, and they're showing, linking, and sharing files with Edward Snowden.
Yes.
That is just golf clap, sir. Golf clap. You got me. I didn't see that one coming. Here's the way I always imagine me taking advantage of this federation is I could literally have four or five of all my buddies. We all have, you know, terabyte drives. I don't think any of us would really use a full terabyte. So we could literally have all of our data being backed up by everybody else. So if one person's house caught on fire or whatever, boom, we can get the data back. And I'd much rather trust people I know versus companies like everybody, Dropbox, Copy, who's now going out of business, Google Drive, OneDrive, anybody else. I'd much rather trust people with that kind of stuff.
Yep.
The going out of business thing, Dory, you got a point there, because I've seen so many, and even products that I used to sell that aren't anymore, you know, that they just drop off and like, oh, I guess I don't have my data there no more.
Right. And here's the beautiful thing about this project. They can go bankrupt. They can go away. The source code still exists. Anybody who wants to, anybody who has the gumption, if you will, can pick it up and just roll with it and make it better.
It's on GitHub. All of it's on GitHub. So if you want it, go get it.
Right. And this part of the reason I think this is successful is part of the reason I think Firefox back in the day was successful compared to other browsers was the plugin architecture. OwnCloud is ultra open and inviting to have anybody write any kind of app. And if it works good enough, they'll bring it into their ecosystem. If it's at all a benefit to even a small percentage of people, that's the kind of love a lot of companies don't give individual developers. And that's one of the reasons why I think OwnCloud is as successful as it's been so far. This is awesome. I will encourage.
Matt, one of the questions I was going to ask you is that I know that.
Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
Am I walking over you there? No, no. Sorry about that. One of the questions I was going to ask you, and I know we had spoke about this previously, is that the you call it the Raspberry Pi as being one of the devices. Could this also work on an Odroid as well too? Because I know with the Raspberry Pi has the 10100 Ethernet card, and with other boards you get the gigabit Ethernet card, which can increase your throughput a little bit better.
My understanding is if you can run a LAMP stack, so if you have a Linux web server, if whatever your device is can run a Linux web server, you can run on cloud. So if you have a distro that'll run on a Odroid or a BeagleBone or any number of devices, I've even heard that somebody got it running under OpenWRT on one of the little TP-Link routers that Dor was talking about doing Pirate Box on a couple shows ago. I've seen it run on that. I haven't gotten it to work for myself, but I've seen people say that they can get it to run under that. So it doesn't require MySQL. It'll run under SQLite if you have a really light hardware that you want to run it on. The image that we were running at scale had the newest version of Raspbian and PHP 5, MySQL, and we were running light TTPD for the web server, and it ran perfect on the Raspberry Pi.
Awesome.
So yeah, so anywhere you can run a LAMP stack, you can run this. It will not run on IIS, Windows IIS, not that I think you should try, but it's been tried and it doesn't work. Somebody said that they got it working under macOS server, but I don't know why you'd want to do that either.
I don't even know. What's Windows IIS? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's their intranet server. It's Internet Information Server is what it stands for. And it when they were pushing Microsoft Small Business Server back in the late 90s, that's where IIS was born. And I think you can still get it. I don't even know. I don't know enough about Microsoft's ecosystem anymore to even be able to tell you.
Yeah, I'll just put it like this. Speaking as an old Scottish fellow, it's crap. It is a horribly flawed web server that in Server 2012, they finally did the Linux philosophy of web servers, which is you start your web server up, nothing is enabled by default. You have to go through each individual thing to enable everything, which by default makes it more secure. It quote unquote works. I will never say it works well. Now the case itself to me looks very geared toward the Raspberry Pi. So if you got this case from Western Digital and attempted to put a different Pi device in it or a Odroid in it, you might literally have to pull out either a hot glue gun or a Dremel.
An X-Acto knife or a Dremel, yeah.
Yeah, to like get it to fit entirely correctly.
If you're really good with a 3D modeler and you want to download the Thingiverse from Thingiverse, you want to download the chassis 3D model and tweak it so that it fits, you know, but that's way over and above what even normal geeks are probably going to want to do, but it's possible.
Right.
Yeah. I just think this is really cool. There's not a lot of companies out there I actively say I really do want to support. I will say Western Digital wasn't one of them. And then I saw this. Now I kind of do want to support them. And I do think OwnCloud is the kind of thing for the real Linux graybeards out there. There's a thing called Freedom Box that's been trying to be in the works now for like 6 years. I can see OwnCloud becoming the backbone for that kind of ownership in the public space of your own data.
Yes.
Only because OwnCloud does make it simpler and easier for anyone to literally manage their own data, share it out with other people, create different parts of it for your kid or for your wife or for your uncle or for your friend.
Yep.
It really has came leaps and bounds, I will say that.
Well, and if you want to support OwnCloud, if you go to owncloud.org/contribute, they have what they call test pilots. You can talk about documentation, write about documentation, or you can, they have a bounty source page linked too. So if you feel like you've got some dollars, that you want to shoot their way, I know they would be appreciative. It's worth supporting, I think.
Very cool. Very cool. And I will say, I love the idea of like bounties. Mm-hmm. It almost makes me feel a little bit, I don't know, adventurous, dirty, like, you know, I'm putting a hit out on somebody, here's some money to do it. But instead, I'm putting money towards something good and productive.
Yeah, here's a I'm going to put a hit out on this feature that I really want to have in OwnCloud, and I'll put some money on it, and now you go make it happen for me. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Right.
Sure, that's what I keep telling myself at least. okay, well, definitely thank you for coming up, Matt. Do you guys have any more questions you want to ask?
No, I just wanted to make a comment that I think Western Digital is a great company to partner up with for OwnCloud. I just had a little story on our last episode when I had a Western Digital drive and it was making some strange noises. I got on the phone and they shipped me a drive right away. So I think their customer service and their drives are great.
Yeah, that's been my experience as well.
Yeah, they've came a long way. They've been around forever.
Man, I want to thank you for joining us, man. My head is full of information. I can't get $79 out of my pocket fast enough to order one of these.
Right? Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, and I'm happy to answer questions. If you think of something, Eric or Brian, you think of something later, you want to shoot me an email about, please feel free. And to the audience,
be careful.
As well.
Be careful what you offer me. I'm the newbie that I am. You'll be like, why did I ever say anything like this guy? He just doesn't get it.
No worries.
Awesome. Thank you.
Cool. So, if you want to hang out, Matt, we're going to answer some emails that we got in this previous week.
Sure.
All right.
Okay, Eric, do you want to be the best friend I've ever had and read these emails?
Your best friend? Wow. our first email comes from Angelo, and he was wanting to let us know from Doku, D-O-C-O-O-L-E-R, D-O-C-O-O-L-E-R, Docooler, via Amazon.com. He says, hey, check out this for a mini PC, or a mini, what do you say here? A small. Wow, that is small. And basically, this is called, and I'll put a link in the show notes here. It's a little, I don't know, I guess it's a phone, maybe? But it's all in your wrist. I don't know, let me paste this in here, and you guys can help me decipher what this thing is.
Yeah, because we brought up that phone that was like credit card size.
Yeah, that was a phone that was a small phone form factor, though. It was actually a phone that you would hold up to your ear. This is everything in your wrist. It's runs Android 4.2.2, Cortex A7 dual core, 4 gigs RAM. I don't know. It doesn't say how much RAM it has. 5 megapixel camera built into it. I don't know.
Eric, we were just talking about small. We weren't saying it was great. We just said small. Right.
And I honestly, Dora, this is totally something you would order. This is the misspellings in this product are perfect for something.
What are you trying to say? It's got
anything that's got a name that's almost unpronounceable for the product, and then misspellings in the descriptions. I think I always thought that those were your two prerequisites to ordering something. Am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. Well, I genuinely worry about this device because it only has 512 megabytes of RAM. Number one. Number two. The processor doesn't sound great. It's a dual core processor. Hard to tell really how fast it is, but what I really worry about this thing is how long of a battery does this thing have?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I can't picture this thing even lasting like 6 hours.
There's not much of a screen to drive though. Because, you know,
I know, but still it's a phone on your wrist. So there is 3G, 4G going on. There's Wi-Fi going on and Bluetooth, I believe, going on. So that's three antennas, at least, that you have to power.
And a heart rate monitor.
Well, you know.
It's neat, I guess.
Yeah. $150 is not low enough for me to gamble on with, but it is interesting. And I would like to see smaller things like this becoming more popular because there are people out there that don't want to sit there and stare at Facebook on their phone all day. Granted, that's not the majority of people out there, but I do think there are people out there who would actually like to have something like this.
I love
this.
Angelo sharing it with us, though, because it's definitely small. Oh, yeah. And if you wear that and you go anywhere, someone's still going to ask you, was that an iWatch? You know, it doesn't matter how thick it is or anything. All right, our next.
I can't stand that. I got the same question when I had my Moto 360 now.
round
the Moto 360 came out first.
And it's round.
I still got, hey, yeah. Is that an iWatch? No.
Yeah, I've had this G-Watch, which came out like 2 years before the iWatch. And I can still, you know, at first when people actually started noticing, honestly, the first time I ever wore this in public, it got noticed. Like, hey, is that a G-Watch? Well, I was getting out of a cab in Chicago, and I'm like, well, yeah, it is. And that was right after it was given to me by one of our listeners. So I was like, man, this is quite a find here. Thank you. And then when the iWatch came out, and I never heard any compliments or any questions about it since then, until the iWatch came out. And then it's always, well, then iWatch. Oh, that looks nice. All right. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Brian. Paul says, hi, Mr. McLaughlin. Just wanted to say that I've listened to your first podcast, and now I've downloaded the others as well. Awesome, awesome show, Steve. If I could ask a question, I have a 512 megabyte Raspberry Pi. Could I leave that powered on 24/7, or would it cook it? Thank you, Paul.
Matt, go ahead and take that one.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think it would cook it. I guess it would depend on if it was in a case or anything like that. But you know, we ran the one at the booth all day, and it never got hot, even with the hard drive in there.
Yeah, that's the perfect response. It will physically get warm if you don't have it in a case and something wrong touches it in one of those spots. Technically, it could be dangerous. But with any kind of case on that Pi, yeah, you could run that thing. Because I've ran my Raspberry Pi for weeks on end, connected to my TV, running emulators for games on them, and I never powered it off. I've had my Banana Pi run almost consistently for 10 months, mm-hmm, with it only power cycling because I lost power or something. I will say the only one I'm hearing about real heat issues on is the Banana Pi M3. I've never heard of heat issues on any other ones. I will say if you look at one of the other boards and you see a fan on it or a big heat sink on it and yours doesn't, maybe you do need to worry about heat. But on the Raspberry Pi and the Raspberry Pi Zero, I can safely say there's near nothing to worry about if you have it in a case.
Yep.
Yeah, I think when I had my Pi in a...
Hey, I want to mimic the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm batting 1,000 tonight. I'm like talking over.
Yeah, no, it's fine. whatever you have to say is definitely more important than anything I'm going to say. So go ahead, Brian.
No, I'm sorry. I was about to echo what Steve was saying, is that I have my Pi as well too, running just as long, and I never had to power it down other than when the power goes out. But I did want to say, when I was listening to this email, I thought, you know, of overclocking. So absolutely, if you're going to overclock your Raspberry Pi, then, you know, I would be concerned about heat issues. But it didn't seem like the writer was in that space to do that. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, and I had my Raspberry Pi running constantly when I had it before I gave it away, and it was in the metal case. You could feel a little warmth on the case, but it was fine in there. Our next email comes from Phil. And it says, hi guys, I am enjoying the new mini PC show, and I'm keen to see how it goes. At first, I thought, how could they get a weekly show about mini PCs? But I'm quickly realizing that it's more than possible. At the moment, I am setting up a new Raspberry Pi, and I want to use it as a cloud print server, among other things. And I'm planning on using the CUPS connector. And I've put the GitHub link in the show notes there that he's talking about. I plan on using the CUPS connector to get my old USB printers onto Google Cloud Print. As far as I know, the only other way to get Cloud Print working on Linux as a printer host is by installing Chromium Chrome, which is not the best option for a headless machine with limited resources. Anyhow, I thought that it may be a project worth sharing with the listeners. Perhaps someone may want to do something similar. And from a quick Google search, there are not too many how-to guides for the CUPS connector method, as opposed to installing Chromium Chrome method, which has several guides that written when Cloud Print was a new thing. Cheers, Phil. Yeah, so what he's trying to do, he's trying to get a non-wireless printer to print wirelessly through this connector and a Pi then. Is that what he's saying?
Well, yeah, that and... with certain things, like I want to say Android devices, Android tablets, and I believe stuff like the Remix mini PC, there is no way to physically connect a printer to it. So the only way you can print is via a cloud type solution. I'm not going to lie when I say this never even begin to dawn on me, because I've had people say, I would like to buy my dad a Chrome box or a Remix mini, but he still needs to print. And I'm just like, well, you could always get a XP computer, stick it in the corner, and that's a horrible, horrible solution. So if you can buy a Pi, stick it in a corner, have it connected to a printer, and have it being a cloud printer for stuff like Android tablets and like iPads, that is an extreme cost savings. And dare I say, I think really cool.
Yeah, I just bought a wireless printer for my father, and I got to go pick it up at the store. But now I never even thought about this either. Man. Thanks for the email, Phil. That's a great idea. Anybody else got any thoughts on that? All right, that's our last email for today. Anyway, I just went and got a $29 wireless Canon printer. I've been running a $29 wired Canon printer forever in my house. And now that my son does have a Chromebook, I went ahead and ordered two of these, one for here and one for my father's new computer that we're setting up this weekend.
Gotcha. Okay, guys, if you take a quick scan through our spreadsheet, is there anything in here that you saw that you would like to discuss before we go?
I did want to throw, it's not totally mini PC, but it's kind of our mini PC show, so we can kind of talk about this stuff, right? It's a link to GameStop that I found today, and it's really topical. So if we get this show out in a decent amount of time, it'll still be topical, because this is a pre-order right now, and the product itself, I don't believe, comes out until February 28th. But I've been really bad on dates and podcasting lately, so. Don't hold me to that. I'm gonna find the link here in just a second.
Well, give it to me. What is it?
It's the only thing I posted in there, and I don't have an open door.
It's the only thing you posted. Yeah. Okay, well, I do see you here with a link. Image not found. GameStop. There it is. And this is a
yes. Lord. I thought you might like this door.
Retreon 5-in-5. It's a Retreon 5, 10-in-1 system. Yes. I've heard very, very, very mixed reviews about this device in the past. What it aims to be is your all-in-one magical console where you can literally run anything. You can run NES, Super NES, Super Famicom, Genesis, Mega Drive, Famicom, GBA, Game Boy Color, and regular Game Boy all on one console.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that GameStop is selling this, and they're not even selling it yet. But if you buy it now, it's $100. Otherwise, if you wait, it's until after 2/29 of 2016, it's $140.
Right. I'm personally very vexed about this, because I have no problem with running emulators and downloading ROMs. This is not for me. This is for the people who have the physical cartridges, but they don't want to wear out their pristine consoles. So you get this to just run all of them.
We just go to rummage sales and hook up with whatever is there for, you know, a bag for a dollar. And then you've got games to throw in your camping trip or whatever. I like new games personally. I know other people like retro games. I like my bits in the triple digits, maybe. Then I don't know.
Hey, hold on, wait. That's noted. Let me write that down. Eric likes his bits in the triples. Okay.
I tell you what, my 13-year-old and my 14-year-old nephew, my 13-year-old son and my 14-year-old nephew would order one of these today, because they collect old GBA games and they're obsessed with the old Pokemon games. And if they could have this, they wouldn't have to buy the old handhelds. They could just buy the old games at garage sales and places like that. They would be thrilled to have something like this if it works.
Yeah.
Well, I hope, because now it's in GameStop, they've worked out the bugs. But I do know in the past I heard people say they got a unit and like the Super NES didn't work at all, or like one of the things didn't really work. But I really, 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 really would hope if they're being sold in a retail outlet like that, they will be at like a higher quality, I'll say.
It would be cool.
There's one review in there, and it was from a few days ago. And he gives it a, I don't know, it says, I've been after this interesting system for a while. I found out GameStop is going to start selling them, and for a discounted price, I pre-ordered mine right away. Oh, he doesn't have it. He doesn't actually own it yet. He just left him a review of his order experience, I guess, and the pre-order. Yeah. Oh, well. We tried. He's just kidding.
And see, the main reason why I'm not flipping out over this is there's no Mega Drive games I even know of I want to play. Genesis is okay. Famicom, I really do appreciate when I can read my games. Having my games in Japanese really slows my brain down a lot. So I would really only use it for the Game Boy stuff, which I do like the idea of playing Game Boy on a big screen. And NES and Super NES, and you know, that's it. So I would really only not get the whole 10 in one. I would only get like a 5 out of it.
Yeah, I like my games just like you do, Dor. give me the emulator. I think I'll do just fine, because after about 15, 20 minutes of playing, I think I'm just going to put it down for another 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't have much time. The only link I wanted to bring up real quick, and again, I'll just say, unlike other podcasts out there, I have no problem promoting other people's podcasts. One of my favorite go-to sites for mini computing, Android, and just computing sales in general is Lilliputin. Mm-hmm. They started a brand new podcast. If you go to lpxshow.com, they just, I believe, only have one episode out. It turns out the guy behind the website actually used to work in the radio arena. So in a way, him starting this podcast is like going back to his roots. I will say it's a weekly interview podcast, so it's not like he's going to tell you stuff that was on the website, stuff that was cool. He's going to interview somebody and they're going to fawn over something because he's interviewing the guy about it. It's good though. I will say that, because we need more mini shows out there. So I'm happy that Lilliputin is doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're I would consider them the experts, and they're a great reference for a lot of the information I look up.
Yeah. I do go to their site a lot. The other site that popped up, I'll just mention, is called Fanless Tech, and it's spelled out all one word, Fanless Tech. They look like they just started very recently, but they do have some good links and some good reviews on their site. They definitely strictly only focus on fanless computers, and that's it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Very cool.
Hey, Dor, do we have a Patreon set up for this show yet?
No, because I haven't got any real ideas for what we're going to do for the Patreon.
I need to figure some ideas up, because I really would like the listeners to start sending me lots of money so I can buy all these little gadgets that we keep talking about.
Okay, Eric, you don't start a Patreon because you want lots.
No, of I don't money. Want money. I want to buy. I want to buy lottery. The things we're talking about. I just,
well, I play the lottery.
I mean, they're all $79, but I just, you know, $79. Eventually, you can't have unlimited supplies of those either.
Okay. I'm going to quote Paul.
Unless they buy it, then give it away.
Well, yeah, that's a good that's idea. Fine.
Well, that's
me.
What I want to do.
I mean, I gave away my Raspberry Pi to a podcast listener.
Well, that's because you weren't using it. okay, Eric, I'm going to quote Paul McCartney. The love you take is equal from the love you take. Make, take, whatever. You know what I mean. Whatever. Let's just roll with it. Let's stop asking questions.
How about?
I messed it up, Ben. I messed it up. Okay,
you get what
Eric,
you give?
Eric. Eric, we have to have good Patreon goals. We can't just stand on the street corner with a cup in our hand jingling it. We gotta give people something back. I have to.
All right. I need to go buy a vinyl cutter.
Okay, well, I think it's time to end this show, because I had Eric speechless. Brian, if people want to catch up with you, what's the best way to do that?
You can do that now. You can reach me at askthecableguy@gmail.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool. Eric, do you have any parting words?
Hey, if you want to reach out to me, hit me up on Google Plus. It's Eric Ardini, A-R-D-U-I-N-I.
Just like
Arduino with an I at the end instead of an O.
Sure. Yes. I'll go for that. Matt, do you want to tell us about your website and your other endeavors?
Sure. You can find me at my website, which is geekdad.thestrangeland.net. And there you can find my sporadically released podcast called The Geek Dad Show. And if you're interested in listening to a bunch of stay-at-home dads sit around and talk about life, you can go to sadpod, that's sahdpod.com, and I'll make sure Dor has the links for the show notes.
Okay, I have to say that one very slowly.
Yeah.
Yes. Very cool. All the links for everything that was just mentioned will be in the notes of the show. I want to thank everyone for their support. Thank everyone for downloading. Thank everyone for subscribing. This is the maybe fastest growing podcast I've ever been on, and I want to thank each and every one of you. Don't forget, we have a Google Plus community out there. Stop in. You'll see all the links, basically, that we don't bring to the show, but they're there if you want to look at them yourself. It's a good place we can talk about these things between shows. And with that, I will talk to everyone in about a week.